In northern Uganda, the cult-like Lord's Resistance Army has forced thousands of children to work as porters, soldiers, and sex slaves. According to the United Nations, the Lord's Resistance Army's guerrilla war against the government has also forced 85% of the population of northern Uganda from their homes. The United Nations is increasing assistance to Uganda as the humanitarian situation in the north continues to deteriorate. But as NPR's Jason Bobian reports, each night, thousands of children commute into the center of one town to sing songs, pray, and sleep away from the rebels.
The town of Gulu is the second largest city in Uganda. During the day, its dusty dirt streets are filled mainly with bicycle taxis and farmers carrying bundles of green bananas and other crops towards the market. At night, Gulu's streets are filled with the small silhouettes of children rushing through the darkness. Thousands of kids stream into Gulu each night to sleep on shop verandas, in schools, and even in the dirt courtyard of the bus depot.
We fear abduction and killing of people. That's why we are here.
Monica Alou walks 4 miles each evening to sleep shoulder to shoulder with other children on the floor of a school. The 13-year-old will rise before dawn to trek home. She says even her parents sleep in the bush to hide from any potential rebel attack.
Because they can kill people. They don't care.
Government soldiers from the Ugandan People's Defense Force, or UPDF, patrol the center of Gulu. But after dark, even the very outskirts of the town are prone to attacks by the rebels. The leaders of the Lord's Resistance Army claim they're fighting to overthrow President Yoweri Museveni and replace him with a government based on the Ten Commandments. The 17-year-old conflict intensified last year when the UPDF launched Operation Iron Fist to drive the LRA from their bases in southern Sudan. The army destroyed many of the camps, but the LRA simply moved back into Uganda. Since then, the rebels have abducted an additional 10,000 children, according to the UN. Despite this huge upsurge in child abductions, Lieutenant Paddy Ankunda, a spokesman for the UPDF in northern Uganda, says Operation Iron Fist has been successful.
Well, the LRA definitely are losing the capacity to wage their terrorist campaign against the people on a daily basis.
Ankunda says the government forays into Sudan have disrupted the military command structure of the rebels and cut off their supply lines.
Rest assured that they are running out of ammunition and one day they will be annihilated and defeated.
But after 17 years of war, there are many in the north of Uganda who say it's time for the government to seek a negotiated settlement to the conflict. McLord Baker Achola, the former Anglican bishop of Kitgum, is in the bustling capital, Kampala, for a university graduation ceremony. In his home district in the north, most schools have been shut down because of the war.
The gun will never solve the war in northern Uganda.
There's a tribal split between the Acholi people in the north of Uganda and the government in the south. The Lord's Resistance Army began almost a decade and a half ago as an Acholi liberation movement. But after years of attacking the very people it claims to be fighting for, the LRA has lost almost all of its support among the Acholi. Many in the region, however, are also suspicious of the government in the south. It hasn't been able to protect them, and whether the government in Kampala really wants the war to end.
There's always been very heavy military deployment in northern Uganda, but with very little results. There seems to be no accountability and transparency for the money that is given to the military.
International donors also regularly complain about the lack of transparency in Uganda's military budget. President Museveni continues to push for a military victory over the LRA. Museveni again this month declared that the leader of the rebels, Joseph Kone, must go into exile or be killed. Kone is no ordinary rebel leader. He claims to channel a spirit called Lekwena, who can turn stones into hand grenades and direct bullets as they're flying across the battlefield. In December of last year, Joseph Kone phoned into a radio talk show in Gulu to deny that he's crazy. Kone also complained that it's been government troops who've been abducting children, planting landmines, and ambushing convoys across the north of the country.
My friend, we are not killing our children. We are not abducting children. We are not doing many bad things in northern Uganda.
Soon after Kone called this show, the government banned radio stations from broadcasting the voice of any of the rebel leaders. In another sign of the growing militarization of the conflict, the son of former Ugandan dictator Idi Amin this month joined forces with the Ugandan army to fight the LRA. Taban Amin had been assembling a guerrilla army in the neighboring Congo to invade Uganda and topple Museveni. Now he's instead joined Museveni and says he'll use his troops to crush the LRA. Amin is touring the north of Uganda in a late-model Land Rover, flanked by a convoy of 24 heavily armed soldiers. He won't say how many troops he controls in the Congo, but it's estimated to be a few thousand. If Kone refuses to negotiate, Amin says he'll be killed, like UNITA rebel leader Jonas Savimbi in Angola.
Kone is killing his own people. He's abducting his own children. I think Kone should get to his capacity to understand that he has to come for peace. And if he doesn't come to peace, maybe it will end up like Savimbi.
But Kone has survived in the bush for 17 years. Opponents of the continued military offensive against him say a different approach to the crisis needs to be found. They warn if the fighting drags on, thousands of additional Ugandans are in danger of ending up like Savimbi, dead after a long, destructive rebel war. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Kampala.